Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida, bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
And the co-host of the Whitfield Report. But what some of you might not know, although we've talked about it pretty in-depth here, is Max is the proprietor of his own establishment, the Cringe Coffee House. So we're going to take a trip to the Cringe Coffee House, and we have a few people over on Rumble and a few people over on my old Sam Whitfield YouTube channel, the one channel that isn't banned. We will be there for a little bit, but then once we get to some spicy stuff, then we'll move fully over to Rumble and X. So it
gets a little hairy.
Well, I would say very hairy since it's Johnny Fox. And
some might even say furry.
Yeah, it might get a little furry. So, Oh, hi, Shmooly.
Hello.
Shmooly. I was told by chat that you quit the show.
I quit the show.
That's what chat said. Because you're not here every single week.
Do you know how much shit I have to do behind the scenes for the show to go on?
Yes.
So much. And Sam never does the fucking ad reads. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. I don't know what you guys are talking about with this fur and stuff. Like, I hope you're alluding to something that's going to happen.
Well, you know, folks of the show may or may not know that about a year ago, Max came on board the show to help out after Apex retired. What some of you might not know is
semi-retired. He's coming back on soon.
Yeah, semi-retired. What some of you folks might not know is prior to Max coming on, I had this one pretty peculiar guest, to put it politely, a guy by the name of Jack Pierce, or at the time. That was what he called himself. And Jack Pierce claimed to be a horror genre author. So I had him on the show, and as an interviewer normally would, I asked him what inspired you to write your book.
Right. The most obvious question that you kind of have to ask if you're interviewing an artist. But you all like, it's the obvious fucking thing to ask. What inspired your art? And in some ways, it's even kind of a dumb question, right? But like, it's expected that you ask an artist this question.
It's a straightforward question.
Yeah.
And so Jack goes off on this rant about this guy by the name of Max Sand. And how he and Max Sand co-wrote this book, but then
not me.
Right. But we'll get to that. So he starts off by saying that Max, that this guy Max, he helped write the manuscript, but then Max stabbed him in the back, and so then he had to like publish it on his own. And well, that was like the most, and it didn't stop there. He went off on this whole rant about how Max had been harassing him for years ever since then. And so out of curiosity,
which is true.
And so out of curiosity, like, I just want people to understand, like, I asked him one question. It got like a 25 minute, like, literally half of the show was about how bad Max was.
Yeah. Which is also true, right?
Like, I asked him one question and just Max. Even that, Max just took over the show without even, only in this case, he wasn't even there. So I was so curious that I looked up this Max Sand guy, and, you know, kind of an edgelord, but hey, this guy, you know, he tweets a lot of pro-Trump stuff, a lot of, you know, pro-America stuff, same stuff that I, you know, was kind of tweeting. And so I thought, huh, I'm going to talk to this guy. And we did. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, what was...
Fortunate timing, really, because the show, you know, you were in a state, you're like, I don't know what to do going forward. My long time, and by the way, great co-host. As I've gone back, and because I didn't know about Sam's show, as I've gone back and watched a lot of the archives, I really enjoyed Apex. And so I understand the gap that he had to fill. And I didn't initially say, oh, me. I said, like, oh, well, some of our guys, we could sit in a couple weeks. Obviously, Shmooly has been the only one besides me. But that's okay, you know?
Yeah, and we're grateful.
Worked really well, and people seem to like the dynamic of us. Although people are like, people are like, oh, Maxi talk over him and he dominates him. And half the time, like, yeah. Yeah, that's called having a show.
Half of the time, Max completes my thoughts, though, too. So then this gets even funnier, though, because I was like, so wait. So Jack told me all this, like, bad, you know, like, horrendous stuff about you that obviously isn't true. But then Max was like, oh, wait, he was actually talking about my brother, Max, M-A-X-X, Sand. And at that point, I was even, like, more confused. Like, Johnny Fox's narrative that he constructed is a real head-scratcher, honestly. And this tends to be kind of a theme. So, I guess I'll let you take it from there, because you can explain the shit much better than I can.
Ugh, and isn't it fun? So I first came across Johnny Fox because of something completely unrelated to my brother, actually. Complete surprise that he was friends with this guy. So he did Falco Punch 64. That was his YouTube name at the time.
Yep.
And he did, like, Ralph-related content and things. And I'd gone into his chat looking, oh, maybe this guy's funny. Who knows? There's a bunch of people there. And, you know, Ralph content's pretty low tier, but whatever. They're, you know, I was bored. I go into chat, and I was like, oh, yeah, this looks cool. And he's like, Max Sand is dead. I'm like, the fuck I am? What the fuck is this guy talking about? I just jump in his chat, and he's, like, yelling that I'm dead. It turns out he concocted a story for my brother where my brother got hit by a salt truck. And he went and told people this for years. That's after, by the way, he's faked his own death, but that's a whole other fucking can of worms. By the way, he admitted on his Discord after my show this morning, flashing a little bit forward, he admitted to faking his own death. So we got that. Anyway, he had faked his own death in 2020 because people trolled him or whatever. Then he came back because that's what happens when you commit suicide. Oh, God, we're on YouTube. It's yeah. Right. We're already getting too
well,
much on YouTube. But when you unalive yourself, but not for realsies.
Well, I think at this point, this might actually be, since no one is watching on YouTube, this might be a good time to say, if you want to watch the rest of the show, come watch on Rumble.
Rumble or on Twitter, X, whatever you call it.
Yep.
We'll still be live there, and they probably won't censor us for words as basic as that describe a very specific phenomenon that you're not allowed to talk about on YouTube for some reason. It's not advertiser-friendly. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Are true crime shows on television advertiser-friendly?
Not really.
Actually, they are. Actually, they get tons of advertisement. look at the True Crime Channel or whatever, or Court TV. They get tons of viewers and they get tons of advertisers. Why does YouTube think it's different? I don't know. It's silly. It's all silly. So he didn't commit unalive himself. He committed SA on himself. Let's just use stupid replacement words that don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, he fakes his death, comes back from that, and decides he's going to be a sector, you know, drama streamer, specifically at Ethan Ralph. Tells me that I'm dead. Tells me that I got hit by a salt truck. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I got kind of like aggravated. So I just left and I didn't think much of it. But I realized that he was easy to get to because he started freaking out like immediately at me. And one of the few times I've directly interacted with him, actually. And then I heard he was doing a live stream with Mr. Vickers and some nobody. I don't even remember the guy's name. But Mr. Vickers was debating somebody. Mr. Vickers, if you're not familiar with this.
Oh,
name.
Yeah.
And I don't expect people to be familiar with this.
Mr. Deadman.
Yeah, yeah. Deadman or whatever. But Mr. Vickers is Ethan Ralph's baby mama's father. So the grandfather of Ethan Ralph's child. And he has a bit of an online feud with Ethan Ralph. And he was going to be on to debate this other guy. So I figured, oh, there's a bunch of people watching. It'll be fun. I'll jump in and you know, feel it out and jump in the call. So I'm on the stream. And what happened is, as soon as I jumped in, I heard my brother's voice, which, by the way, I hadn't talked to him in several years. I am estranged from my family for many, many years. Which is a whole nother story I could talk about another time, but I don't think we have the amount of time needed to talk about Johnny Fox and that. So anyway, I haven't been in contact with my biological family since like 2009. And here I am, my brother's in there. And I was like, oh shit, this change of plans. What do I do now? And then I was like, oh, it'll be funny because he's Max Sand with two X's and I'm Max Sand with one X. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be like, I'm the real Max Sand and you're an imposter. I'm just going to do a bit, right? But I never got that far because as soon as I came in, he had a conniption fit and deleted his server, his YouTube channel, his Twitch, his Twitter, everything, just anything he ever made. And I was like, why is that? Well, it's because he's a goon. A retard, what's the word? Locale, idiot, online mockery of himself, fat, lazy. Oh wait, I'm just describing him. So I start looking into the guy and. People automatically, they're like, oh, yeah, Johnny Fox, he's fucked up. He did this. He did that. And I was like, huh, where is all this stuff? How come if he's doing all this stupid stuff, nobody talks about it? My brother then hooks me up with his old school group of trolls. And I'm sorry because the information, there's so much Johnny Fox information running through my head today because of everything going on. I don't remember the name of the group, but I do remember Templar Gaming, and I think they were called like DDG or something like that. My brother will fucking correct me if he sees this or somebody else. Anyway, they were a group of like trolls, and Johnny Fox ran with them, and then they made fun of him, and he didn't like that because he's a baby. He has the thinnest skin I've ever seen. Y'all think Ethan Ralph has thin skin? Tell Johnny Fox his content is mediocre. Not bad. Just tell him his content is mediocre in his chat and see what happens. Fun experiment. Anyway. Okay, he's deleted his whole server. Everybody's telling me, hey, he did multiple scams. He got called out by Mundane Matt, of all people. You know, I think I kind of have to go chronologically all the way through the story at this point, don't I? I didn't do that on this show this morning. And maybe to my detriment, but there is a documentary. It is on YouTube. It is Cringe Coffee House Presents Half-Assed and Lazy, the Johnny Fox Story. It's a 2-hour documentary. So like the highlights of Johnny Fox's history, he stole a, if you know what a long play is, audience, it's like a let's play of video games on YouTube, but they play like the whole game or like a large section, like 8 hours without commentary. So you can just watch somebody play the game that way. I don't like that kind of thing, but either way, he stole one of those that somebody else made and then streamed it as if it was him playing the game and then fell asleep and started snoring. And then the people, And then the people who fucking follow him or whatever were like, bro, you're snoring. You're clearly not playing. They found the original video and they did a frame by frame comparison. You can actually see like the mouse movements are exactly the same. It is the same. He stole gameplay footage. And after that, he had a famous rant and I'm going to see if I can bring this up. But it was an amazingly epic rant. In fact, you know what, Sam? I'm probably just going to post it on Twitter and then I can use the Twitter video. It might be the easiest way for me to do this. But yeah, he had this meltdown. I'm just going to post just the meltdown and then I'll bring it up. I will bring it up right on stream for you lovely people in the audience. Let's fucking go. I am bad at this, Sam. I apologize. We're gonna maximize and then share. There we go. Okay, so when Johnny Fox got called out for stealing gameplay footage, this is the reaction. I hope it's not muted.
I can't hear on my end.
Maybe it's because I did window. Okay. I have to share a tab instead. Forgive me, audience. We're learning the Rumble tools. Apologies. This one should work.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, because this is what you wanted. You wanted to drive me crazy. Make me destroy all the stuff. Destroy the show. Well, wish fucking granted. I threw my brother out on the street because of you. All because of a false narrative crafted by me trying to help my fucking family. That's what you want to do to me. That's what you want to bring to me. This is
what you wanted. And notice, like, hold on. I'll bring it back up for 1 second just because the screenshot here illustrates what I'm saying. This is the devastation, ladies and gentlemen, of him destroying his show. He knocked his mic stand over. So RIP mic stand. It's the biggest deal in the world. I love that video because it's so silly. He also did a bunch of streams coping about how, no, he didn't steal gameplay footage and y'all are just making it up and everybody's against me and poor old Johnny Fox is just a martyr. Oh, and nobody believed him because they had evidence. And the evidence came from, I want to get it right. Well, I'm just off the top of my head with all this, so forgive me. I believe the channel is called Otter Man Ain't No Chump. And they did an expose video on how he stole gameplay footage and other various things. There was also a, some of you may remember this old school internet, Retsupre. Anybody remember it? You remember that, Sam, or is that too old for you?
I think I remember that.
So Retsupre was a channel where they found people making Let's Plays that were funny. And Johnny was featured on that channel multiple times. And they just make fun of him. It's like Mystery Science Theater 3000 for Let's Plays. And they roasted him. They just absolutely roasted him. And he didn't like that very much. And then that is around the time I believe he faked his suicide the first time, which was 2015. And then the next thing I know, he tried to make another channel, faked his suicide again. Flash forward again. Now we're at the Falco Punch channel, and now I've encountered him, and I've found all this stuff. I made the documentary, and I gave him some advice, which is to stop being a fucking spurg, right? Like, calm down, grow up, get a life, and don't take this shit so fucking seriously.
And oddly,
if he listened, man, that was almost 3 years ago. Imagine if he listened.
Yeah. Well, and then I just kind of want to jump in here. I was actually in, what's wild is I was actually in his Discord when he was hosting the debate between Vickers and Mr. Deadman. And at the time, that was also where I met friend of the show, Craig Bob, aka Professor Pussy Smoke, which is still one of our greatest episodes that we've done on this show. So for the new listeners who haven't watched that, I highly recommend going back to the end of last year. But that's all that aside, Craig and I were both in Falco Punch's Discord the night when the Vickers versus Deadman debate was going on. And prior to that, Craig and I had both been telling Johnny, listen, dude, you seem like a nice
down.
you seem like a nice guy. We're not sure that this blood sports thing is gonna work out well for you. You know, this could turn into a real shit show. We wouldn't do it, but you know, whatever. And he was like, "Oh, it'll be fine." Well,
I want to point out, everybody else liked that stream. Everybody said it was good.
Yeah,
it was him that had the problem, and it came after the stream ended, right? But I want to be clear: the Deadman Vickers stream, everybody who watched it thought it was fun or funny or whatever. I mean, a couple of people did kind of ruffle Johnny's feathers, as he likes to say, but nothing really particularly bad.
Well,
and
sure.
And then the show ended, and we all, you I'm sure thought, and Craig definitely thought, and I thought that everything was fine. And I was chatting with some people. Johnny hadn't come in yet when I was talking to them. And then he came in, and that's when he deleted the server. So you were in there before that. It's like a roughly 3 hour period, really, we're talking about.
Yeah. And I had left to go do something else. I was still in college at that time. So I think I was like finish a paper or something. But it's funny because I left, right? Now I'm getting back to it. I left right as you came in. So, right.
A bunch of people did. And a lot of those people the next day were like, what the fuck happened to the Discord server?
Yeah.
Well, he deleted
one of them. Yeah.
And the reason he deleted it is because I was talking, my brother's in there, so I'm going to talk to him. Craig was, we were off air, so I wasn't going to do the bit about I'm the real Mexican because we're not on air, you know. Just shooting the shit. And actually, we got on the conversation of Ethan Ralph and started talking about him and making fun of him. And one of the people in there, a newer person in Johnny Fox's like circle, went into his DMs and was like, they're talking shit about you in your own server. So he comes in and he flipped out immediately at me specifically. And then knowing my brother was in there, right? He had no reason to have a problem with me, but my brother was in there. And he just deleted the whole server in the middle of our conversation. Never even bothered to double check. Hey, maybe this guy's lying to you. I played the audio on the first Johnny Fox stream I did. So the audio is still out there. You can fact check what I'm saying. We literally were talking about Ethan Ralph, and some dude was like, no, they're talking about you. They're calling you a fat gunt and a rage pig. And it's like, well, I am now. But I wasn't at the time, you know. Anyway, that set off my alarm. Obviously, I do host, as you mentioned, a little show. I don't particularly get a lot of views. It's just for my own entertainment, mostly, and the few people that watch it. The Cringe Coffee House, or Cringing Over Coffee, as the show title is called. And the idea originally was in, I think, 2017, 2018 on StreamMe. Medicare had a morning show, and I was watching it. And then I started doing a stream afterwards. I was like, obviously, there's people watching this kind of content on the site. Now they're bored because Mr. Medicare is finished his. So it would be perfect to come in. I think it was like 10 a.m. And it was a morning show, so I had the coffee theme, but obviously cringe because I was going to watch weird content. And I was just like, okay, we'll have some fun with this. I watched a lot of videos about Dave Grady, which is my favorite of all the people I cover on the show. Way funnier than Johnny Fox, by the way, and without a lot of the drama. Like, Dave's not drama, he's just Dave. He's unapologetically Dave. Johnny Fox is full of drama, so it's not as fun for me. But he made a fool of himself, and I was at the epicenter of it, so I did a stream. And when I did the stream, a bunch of people came out, and they're like, oh, did you know about this with Johnny Fox? Did you know about that? Oh, this is actually wrong. Oh, you have all this. And so I was like, oh, shit. Well, I got to get this right. And then I did a second stream kind of correcting some of my information from the original stream. And then it got to the point where I was like, I have to compile this into a timeline of events. Meanwhile, he is spurging the fuck out on Twitter at, what the fuck is that guy's name? Cognitive Thought or whatever.
Oh, yeah, Cog.
Yeah, he's flipping out at Cog. And all I say is, I guess he invited Cog to come on his show, and Cog said no. And then he kept bothering Cog about it. And I was like, bro, the dude doesn't want to go on your show. Just chill out. And he took that as like a declaration of war or something. He deleted Twitters and all this stuff. Starts fucking yelling at me. I DM him. And I say, Johnny, why don't we look at all this funny shit that you did? You come on with me in the Cringe Coffee House live. We'll have a laugh. And you can say, yeah, you know what? That was years ago. And I feel really dumb about it. And I overreacted to things. And I shouldn't have done this. Maybe an apology for stealing gameplay. Like, basic shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, he declared he was going to dox me and all this fucking shit. And so, okay. So the documentary's on. I put a month of editing and research into that documentary, which is why it came out pretty good. I actually left a lot out. Like, a lot. Because I didn't want it to be 4 fucking hours long. It's already almost 2. So there's just so much, you know?
And to be clear, that's the first Johnny Fox documentary. That's not the new one that you just did today.
Well, I mean, today was just a stream. Now I got to compile it into a documentary because there's a bunch of other shit going on. But we're getting ahead. There's still so much more to go through to explain the Johnny Fox bit. We get into a war on Twitter. He blocks me. Then he deletes Twitter. Then he comes back to Twitter. Then he deletes his Twitch. Then he deletes his YouTube. Then he comes back on back and forth. He does a flounce post. So I would do a stream about him. I'm quitting the internet forever. he had a website, jackpiercebooks.com. It still exists. If you go there, your browser will tell you that it is a malicious spyware site. So don't go there. But I do have archives of the things he said. He actually tried doxing my brother and my family on his website. And then I was like, now it's on. Well, I didn't try. He did. He doxed my brother.
on his author website too, which like as an author myself and as a guy who has been to several author websites, I don't ever recall, like, friend of the show Steve Stratton, we mentioned him, like, he has a pretty in-depth website. I don't ever remember going to his website and seeing, like, a list of all his mortal enemies, except for maybe the drug cartels, but that's,
yeah, they're just different. They're such insane rants too. Like his whole website was these insane. If you, I again archived a lot of it. They're wild, and his fantasies about me are wild too. He's right now accusing me of being abusive to my family, and his reasoning for this. You ready? I'm mean to him on the internet, so I must be abusive in real life.
Well, I mean, you do make your wife watch this show.
Yeah, that could be considered a form of, yeah, you might be right there. No, she loves it. She's, well, except the pussy smoke thing. She does regret saying that because it's going to be a t-shirt, but at the same time, I think she's kind of proud of herself.
Yeah.
Oh, and so his website's just full of this stuff about me. And here's another one. He claims that my dad, my father, by the way, died in 2010. My dad in 2019 or something raped a woman. And I'm like, go dad, I guess. Back from the dead to rape women. I mean, that's what the fuck. Okay.
I'm sorry for laughing, but that just seems so comical.
Yeah. And then he's like, and then he wouldn't let his brother stay with him. And I literally, like, my brother will tell you, yeah, for a period of time, my brother had to move, right? And he didn't have a new house this week. And so he stayed with me for like a week, right? And then he went to another place. And Johnny Fox is like, and he locked his brother out in the cold. By the way, this occurred in May. Just throwing that out there. Very cold in May.
He also, I remember during our interview, he said that, or no, he told me privately that
yeah, he never makes allegations like that in public for some reason.
Well, no, he told me privately that, like, that Max and his brother don't get along. But see, like, I've seen you and your brother. I interacted with your brother a bit today. You seem to get along fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the reason I'm estranged from my family comes down to me and my brother when he was 15 years old. He is now 30. Okay. When he was 15 years old, we had a bit of a scuffle, right? And my mom pressed charges on me for it. The charges were inevitably dropped because he assaulted me. And also, he wasn't going to testify against me because he assaulted me. But my mother is a crazy person, as I've been very open about. Yes, my mother is a schizophrenic drug abuser who abused me as a child. Yes, absolutely. I don't know how that makes me look bad, but sure. Yeah, that's true. She literally thought demons in her head told her to abuse us. Yeah. Uh-huh. What of it? Right? I haven't seen her in 15 years either. But anyway, he says all this fucking shit, and I'm like, all right, it's on. I made content on him. He deletes his channel again. And then that was about a year ago, and the last video I made on him was entitled Johnny Fox Needs to Log Off. And for a little while, he did. And that's where the story was left up until today. Well, last week. I mentioned it on the Wednesday Whitfield report. I said, there's something happening with Johnny Fox, because all of a sudden my year or 2 year old videos start getting all these likes and comments. I'm like, what did Johnny Fox do to get this kind of reaction? Or why are people finding it? You know, it's gotta be something. And sure as fucking, he is a big fat piece of shit. I was right. And a couple people said, you know, they have stuff here and there. Some people shared some screenshots. And a girl that went by, well, I'll just call her Bree, because that's what she went by with the interview. It said, I was a victim of his, and I'd like to share my story. And so I got in contact with Bree, and we arranged an interview, and she told her story. And so today on the Cringe Coffee House, I played that interview in full, but also I uploaded the raw version of it. So the obviously the stream version, I stop and comment on it a little bit here and there. But it's a 2-hour interview. So it's a lot to get through. So I posted the raw one, so you can just listen to that without having me interject.
Good stream, by the way. I just finished watching it before I came on here.
It's compelling, you know?
Yeah.
And go watch it. Go watch it. I don't want to spoil what like the big reveals were, but there's some pretty like embarrassing stuff in there for him, for sure. Sexual. But one of the big reveals that I gave away before even the show is that Bree is part of the furry community. And Johnny Fox has been being accused of being a furry at least 10 years. Obviously, Johnny Fox, he has a fox avatar as his YouTube thing. All of this stuff. Well, Bree said he's a master. That's a quote. A master of furry RP. And yeah. What was her words? Cyber fucked a furry. She said something like, how can you say you're not a furry? You cyber fucked one.
Which by the way, I watched the stream and the interview today. Mm-hmm. And so here's the one thing that I find pretty, interesting. Okay. So Johnny or Jack, whichever you want to call him, claimed to be an author of all these like horror slash, you know, and slasher books. His slasher books are not that good. Like I've read some of them. They're not terrible, but they're
some of them are terrible.
Well, the ones I've read weren't terrible, but they were mediocre.
Those ones are co-written by my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the fun part is I say co-written. I believe he wrote most of it, but either way, he was a co-writer, co-author. His name was on the original printing of it.
Your brother.
He took it off of Amazon, which he called unpublishing. By the way, you can't unpublish a book. That's not how that works, right? Like that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But he took it down off of Amazon. But if you got a book out in the wild, you can't fucking unpublish it.
Right.
It's out of print. So it's still published. But he republishes it without my brother's name on all of the novels that he worked on with the guy. My brother had a problem with that. I said, let it go. Who cares? You don't want to be associated with like mediocre to shitty books anyway. But he had his pride. And we had some at one point. I think it was Genius Anus actually was like moderated a chat between me, my brother, and Johnny Fox, to kind of come to a resolution. And the thing is, the resolution he came up with was, oh, I'll put your name back on the books, but you got to tell your brother to stop fucking with me. And I said, I'm not a part of this deal. I'm my own man.
Well, and
I will fuck with you as long as I want to, good sir. And that's where we basically left it.
Well, so from an author's perspective, like I can kind of understand where your brother might, because look, I can understand where you're going, you know, where with like, hey, dude, it's not worth it. But at the same time, like, if I were a co-author. Man, fuck that guy. I want my credit too. I worked on the book too. Damn it.
Yeah, but he didn't. He specifically said, I don't want any money.
But the other thing I was gonna say too is, as someone who has read Johnny's work and it's mediocre at best, from an author's perspective, it is weird to me that he is a very mediocre horror author.
He's very mediocre everything.
But he's exceptionally good at, I don't even want to call it erotica, because I feel like erotica would be like classing it up a bit too much as to what he writes, but he's good at writing smut.
Apparently, that's what I was told in this interview today, that he's a master of it.
Yeah.
That he likes to write about his big veiny dick, which, again, look, this is not the first woman that has approached me with a story. She's just the first one to come public. I didn't talk about Johnny Fox's stuff with women before because I couldn't put a face or a voice or anything to it, and I can't use their names, and some of the information would give him, because he'll dox you. He's threatening to dox me right now. I have screenshots from his server that I'm being sent. Like, oh, he's going to die. Johnny, I'm not afraid of you. My response to Johnny was a good friend of mine, the Joker. He's a rapper with two R's, J-O-K-E-R-R. Did a song, Show Me How. And it's basically for exactly like this purpose. It's like, okay, show me how, motherfucker. Dox me, swat me, give me the fucking WikiLeaks, whatever, bro. You ain't going to do shit. Shut the fuck up with your fat face or do some. Because if you think I'm worried that people are going to find out, people are going to find out the truth about you, Max, that you're really boring. Because that's the truth. I'm boring, right? I live in a townhouse in a fucking middle-class community. Yeah, like, I had a heart attack. You might find that out. Let's see. I run. I'm an ordained minister. I've said that on the show many a times. What else might you find out? Oh, I have a wife and a child. You might find that out. I'm sure that's, you know, wonderful thing to put to threaten to put my wife and children in harm's way, as he's doing, which I've never done to him. And I've been very specific about not doxing him. It's actually hard not to dox Johnny Fox, because he puts so much stupid fucking information out there that I'm having to censor my fucking videos to protect this fucking moron. But he's going to dox me. Well, show me how, motherfucker. What you going to do? Get off the fucking keyboard and go do something. You want to beat me up? Come fucking beat me up, bro. I told him this before. In a video I said last year, I said, maybe sometimes if you're being bullied, you should come punch the bully in the nose. I'm waiting. He's not taking a fucking, you know, he talks shit on a private Discord that you have to pay to get into. And I still have people in there. Right now, well, he doesn't even get it.
Apparently, from what I've heard, he called, and this is the whole reason why I'm doing a stream on him. I usually want to do a stream on some guy that's so mediocre, except he decided to pull a Mersh.
Oh, yeah, he went full Mersh. Because I'm associated with Sam, he had to say something. And I said that was a line in the sand for me. I was going to leave this all, Johnny, I know you're watching. I was going to leave this all alone. But hear it right to offend media. It's all for one and one for all. And you went at Sam. That's a no-go zone. You don't call Sam a retard, and you don't ban Smooly in chat. Those are the two rules. Because if you do those two things, there are consequences. Ask Mersh.
Which, by the way, I
was nice to you.
Which, by the way, I wanted to interject something here, Johnny. If I really am retarded, how come I sold more books than you,
oof,
Johnny? By the way, Shadows of Deception, second edition, available on Amazon. And I do have a special announcement at the end of tonight's show. You don't even know about this yet, Max, but
I'm excited.
I just want to put this up on screen real quick.
Yeah, we've been so focused on positivity on the show, you know, and that's unfortunate to go this route. I mean, maybe our audience might not even like this shit. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, You call Sam. You give that kind of insult to Sam, and yeah, I'm not backing down at all now.
Yep. So real quick,
me a retard. I don't fucking care. You call Sam a retard, and then you're the fucking retard.
Wait, which look? It doesn't.
Just like Mersh was a retard. The funniest thing about all that is what? What got Mersh madder than anything that you called him a retard?
Yeah,
because he is.
Well, and see, what's funny too is to borrow a quote from Mersh. I was nice to you, Johnny. I invited you onto my show, twice to promote your book, and he also got mad at me because like I didn't show his book enough or something. Dude, I always give my guests, you know, a plug for their book and whatnot. I've always done that.
Right, but it's not like it's not your job to do a full ad read. You let him fucking.
Yeah, like, it's all
like to promote your book.
Yeah,
that's,
it's
that's what you always do.
It's also not my job to you know, ensure that every customer buys that every one of my listeners buys your book, you know. If people want to buy your book, fine, but if not, you know, I can't force them to. Now yeah. We've had
sell yourself better.
Yeah.
Instead of blaming Sam, you know, make a better case, because Sam doesn't have any problem selling his book, and we shill it every week. It's easy.
It's yeah, easy
because it's a good book, by the way. And other guests, it didn't like. I'm sure Steve, if somebody, Steve Stratton, I'm sure if somebody was watching it, he makes a good pitch for not only his specific book, but why he's a good author, and maybe you should check out his work. You know,
yeah.
Same with Eric. My God, who other? We've had too many authors.
Eric Bishop, who, by the way, like. He's killing it in the in the, you know, but the book sales.
I actually got his he's doing like a reprint. I actually got that on its way.
Oh, the body man.
Yeah, I got the body man reprint because I, you know, support independent artists. I always love to support independent artists.
You're gonna love that. That was probably the best book of 2021 that I read.
Nice.
Read when it came out the first time.
Yeah. So he told me, it's not hard. And by the way, at that point when he came on the show last, the body man wasn't. I don't even think he had announced it. He was selling another book.
He was selling Ransom Daughter, which just for the heck of it, Johnny. I'm going to show my friend's book, Ransom Daughter, which you can buy on Amazon.
But he as an author sold me on him as an author. So I went and looked into other things. That's what you got to do.
You, and I'd like to point out, Johnny, when I asked you questions about your book, you took up all your time to talk about this guy to my right.
Yeah, write a book about me, why don't you?
You know, and
then you could chill it easily because you'll never stop talking about it.
Didn't he like kill you off in one of his books or something like that?
No, actually, he wrote a book about raping and murdering his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He unpublished that one too.
That was actually one of the ones that I had read.
It's a bit creepy, isn't it? Even if you don't know that context, just the book itself is a little like, why is the protagonist a murderous rapist, and why does it pretend like the girl is the bad guy in the situation? Because like he doesn't even get that across,
right?
Yeah, well, it's something else, I'll tell you that.
Well, like, To be fair, there is this one book that's like written about the Kennedy assassination, and it's from Oswald's perspective, but it doesn't portray Oswald as a good guy either.
Right. That's the thing. You can have an antagonist be the protagonist, but if you portray them as the good guy, as an anti-hero, people get weirded out by that. Perfect. And but it can work too. A Clockwork Orange is that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked.
But that film, as well as the book, makes you uncomfortable with it. He is charming. You know, he is a good character, but you're just uncomfortable with how evil the motherfucker is. So even then, in a case where it works, you're still the idea of making the murderous rapist the anti-hero, no one is gonna, I mean, I guess some edgelords would be really impressed with that. Also, shouldn't, like, doesn't that get you on a list if you write a book like that? Like,
yeah, I hate to say this, but Malcolm McDowell's character in A Clockwork Orange actually has, God, this is the most fucked up thing I'm about to say on the show. Malcolm McDowell's character has more ability, he has more social graces with women than Johnny Fox does.
Little less in the book. The two women at the music store in the book are 10, and he forces himself on them.
Yeah.
He's 15 in the book, by the way. So it's still horrible. Maybe not as horrible as if he was 40, I guess, but it's still fucked up. They took that out of the movie specifically because it was too awful, and they wanted you to have some sympathy for what the government does to him later in the film, and you wouldn't have any if he's a fucking pedo. But in the book, he absolutely is even more despicable, and still he has more social graces with women than Johnny Fox.
That right there might be the most fucked up thing I've said on the show, but it's true too.
So. But you know, like I said, we had the interview. You can listen to it. It was a lot of fun today. He's been spurging out, so that's pretty much it. It took what, fucking 45 minutes or something to cover the fucking 53 minutes to cover this fucking shit. And that's the short version. But I got one other thing. Maybe even we could like end on this. But of course you have an announcement, so we should end on that.
Yeah.
But he inspired me, Sam. I wrote something.
Ooh.
I wrote a novella. Well, I wrote one chapter. You know, I didn't put that much effort into it. And I'm willing to share some of this with the audience. It's called Fox, but like faux, you know, like F-A-U-X. In the Hen House, a novella by Max Sand. You ready for this, Sam?
Yeah.
He sat in front of his computer, writing as he liked to do. It was never very good, but that never stopped him. After finishing a particularly bad chapter, he sat back in his chair with ripped armrests and sighed loudly. This one will be the one. I just know it, Jimmy said. Jimmy Fox, by the way. Not as certain as the words might indicate. Ever since Evan quit editing his books, he hadn't sold a single one. To be fair, when Evan was around, he only sold a few, and this was clearly not going to be a career path for Jimmy. But what was, at this point, he hadn't had a job in 8 years. In fact, it had been roughly 8.5 years since he lost a job at a big computer company, and his brother's couch isn't really comfortable. Much less when he gets the daily, "When are you getting a job and moving out, Jimmy?" speech his brother is so fond of giving. They just don't understand, he thought. He's an author, and sooner or later, someone will buy his books. He just needs to push the problems of life off and build his online presence. Said presence had been underwhelming, lately to say the least. You see, all Johnny's friends conspired to turn on him at exactly the same time, and in fact, had been faking being his friends online for years. Outside of the internet, he has no friends, so this was a big deal to Jimmy. Ever since they caught him stealing gameplay footage while live streaming, they'd all worked together to screw him over. And only that fateful night of his terrible live stream, when everybody laughed at him, did he realize the truth far too late. Jimmy sat in horror as he realized they were all mocking him, laughing at him. He could feel the laughter in the deepest part of his heart, reverberating to and fro in cackles and giggles. A knife would have been more merciful, but they didn't want mercy on poor Jimmy. No, they sought torture and picked the most sick and twisted weapon of all. Mockery. They claimed he was a lull cow, and he knew what that meant now. And no, he could never be that. He was not a loser who lied, told big fish stories, and got angry and made a fool of himself. He was a nice guy, a sensitive artist, and an author, goddammit. Drifting out of his daydream, Jimmy stared at the page again, rereading his work. Yeah, this one will be great. When his computer made that sharp, dinging sound he set whenever he gets mentioned online. Oh no, not again. This ding was specific. It could only mean one thing, and that sound hung low in Jimmy's gut for a moment, wriggling around into the pit before settling into his balls in an uncomfortable, but not entirely painful, ball of anxiety. "It's fucking him again," Jimmy exclaimed, forgetting his brother was right there. "James, shut the fuck up," his brother, Jailer, replied. "I worked all day to feed your fat ass, and you can't even have the decency to be quiet? Are you off your meds again?" "I told you, I won't take them. They're part of the conspiracy. And anyway, it's my stalker fan again. He made another video about me." "You mean the guy who points out you're a fat loser who should spend less time online and more time trying to get a fucking job and get out of my house?" The brother spat the words out with pure venom. "No, I mean the stalker who's obsessed with using my fame for clicks and ad revenue. John, now leave me alone." Jimmy was meeker now, quieter. He knew he'd been pushed too far. "Okay, Jimbo, whatever you say. Just send me the link to his new video. He's right about you, and it's always funny." The hateful brother said these words with that same smug tone the stalker used. "Fuck you. He is not. I'm a famous author, goddammit." Jimmy yelled furiously and then sobbed. He clicked the pop-up, and there it was. "Jimmy Fox Exposed. 10 New Lies from the Fox Man," read the title. Jimmy inhaled. Held it for a few seconds, and then exhaled deeply and clicked play. His one last loyal fan told him not to even watch. But this one had 50 views and comments! The first thing he did is pause and look at the comments, and that dread ball in his nuts flared right back up and spread into his chest. "Why does Jimmy lie so much? He's so weird." That one was from Solar Angel? His Solar Angel? But she used to watch his streams, and he was going to make her his girlfriend. This monster stole his angel and poisoned her mind, too? This has gone too far. What could he do? Tears formed as he clicked the button to unpause the video, and there he was, the stalker. In the corner was his face cam, with weird flags and a shirt reading, "Online asshole," tacked up to the wall. In the middle was a picture of, Wait, is that my new book? Jimmy said. He was reading it in a stupid, mocking voice and stopping to make jokes. "Wow, this is some terrible writing," the stalker kept reading in that smug voice. The arrogance of this man, he didn't understand how hard writing was. And the best part, ladies and gentlemen, is here on the back cover. He flipped open the book to About the Author section. Jimmy had signed all his books John Faulkner, a pen name he made up, and used a photo he liked. Yes, the photo was old, and he used a filter or two and maybe some AI, but it was him. What is he really going to say about this? Jimmy realized he was holding his breath and quickly exhaled and inhaled again, only to hold it once more. "He says he lives in London, says it on his website too, but here in this message," the man clicks a few keys and the main screen changes to a direct message. One he sent to his former editor, Evan. Oh, God, no. Where he says, "I will have you know I contacted a lawyer right here in South Carolina and retained another one in L.A. I will sue you and your brother for everything you cocksuckers have unless he deletes these videos now." "Well, Jimmy, I can call you Jimmy, right? I know you sign books as Johnny, but your name is Jimmy Fox. Anyhow, Jimmy, it's interesting how you claim to live in one place and then say you're in another, and how you claim to be destructed. And then, destitute, and then claim to be rich and famous. It's almost like," the man paused with a hideous grin, laughed a little, and continued, It's almost like you lie about basically every word that comes out of your mouth. No, Jimmy, I don't think I will delete anything. And in fact, we will be making more content about you, your books, and your lies going forward. It's so much fun, and you're such a good sport about it. Until next time, Jimmy, have a fine evening. It was at this moment Jimmy knew what he had to do. Not just what he wanted to do, but what he had to do. It was right then and there he knew he had to kill this man. "I'm going to kill Max Sand," he yelled. "Didn't I tell you to shut the fuck up, James? Jesus Christ, waking me up again? And you'll be sleeping in the fucking dumpster," his brother said, rolling over and back to sleep. Jimmy stayed quiet for the rest of the night. He didn't sleep, however. He plotted. He wrote his plan in great detail. Max would understand. He was going to make him understand. Scene.
Damn, that is actually... And that's a first draft, I imagine.
Well, yeah. I just fucking put that together in like fucking 10 minutes. And I tried to write it in his style, which is why it's so bad. I used specific wording from his books for a lot of it.
Yeah. Still, even with his bad style, it was good.
Well, yeah, you can have bad writing that still tells a compelling story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not if you're Johnny Fox, though. Literally, what I wrote right there is better than all of his books combined, and I put no thought into it except that it was funny. Just imagining myself as him watching me, and I just found that funny. So
I'll never
finish it. It's only going to be one chapter.
Still, that one chapter was more riveting than all of his entire novels put together.
Yeah, well, that happens when you're an awful writer.
So, shoot, I guess we did interview an author today, folks.
Got your literary fix.
Inadvertently so. I would say it's a go by Max's book, but considering they'll never finish writing it, I will instead. I want to show you guys something special. I've talked about my upcoming book, but I haven't released any details up until now. So
I'm on the edge of my seat.
As I showed previously, Shadows of Deception came out in July of 2023. Many have been asking when the sequel is coming out and more details about that. Well, I can reveal today, ladies and gentlemen, the cover for the next book in the Shadows of Deception saga. Let me see if this will pop up here. Okay. Yes. Now it's cut off a little bit, but the next book is titled The Fourth Estate, a John Ryder thriller.
I like the impressionist kind of thing going on there. It's really cool.
Yeah, so the Fourth Estate basically refers to the media, the corporate media complex, the fake news, as President Trump likes to call them. And, we're going to be getting into some more deep state territory and some more media complex type stuff. And I'm looking at a release date in late February or early March, just depending on when I can finish the edits. But for those who are curious, The Fourth Estate is coming soon, so stay tuned for more details, dear viewer. But I just wanted to end on that note, and you're welcome. So.
Absolutely. Big hype.
very happy to announce it.
Talked about so many bad books already on the show. It's time that, well, then we talked about good books too.
Yeah, A Clockwork Orange, Ransom Daughter.
The Body Man, which I'm really I've heard nothing but like fantastic things about it. So I'm really hyped. And I'm really hyped that he was able to publish it independently. That makes me more liable to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, I did, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I absolutely do. So you know, we took a little detour for the Monday show. We will be back on Wednesday to cover, I don't know what's going
on. Johnny Fox. This will be the one Whitfield report that we get it all out in, I think. And there is going to be more cringing over coffee, but I don't think our audience can take only so much Johnny Fox. Or maybe I'm projecting. I don't know.
Well, you know, if he decides to make, you know, this show a subject of his, then we might have to. But I don't think he wants that. So I do want to thank the 14 viewers. At one point, it was 20 viewers that showed up for this all on Rumble. We really appreciate you all. And we'll be back on Wednesday, probably to cover how Nikki Haley is losing her mind and throwing temper tantrums.
Not to mention all the people calling for more war. Yay.
Yeah. But anyway, until next time, folks, thanks for tuning in. God bless. God save this great nation. God, freedom, legacy in that order. And I'll see you on the next episode of the Whitfield Report.
And fuck Johnny Fox.
Thanks for listening to the Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com. And support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless. God save this great nation. And God, freedom, legacy, in that order.